You're the only voice I want to hear. Walk with me. Show me who you are as I draw near. You're not.
Look for it. I've come with my agenda. keep worshiping this morning. Read the Lord's Prayer to ourselves, to us. You can keep singing, or you can say this prayer along with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're a holy God. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, right here in this place, and in our hearts, and in our lives, and in our community, we want what you want for us. Let you and your ways happen to this place, in Jesus' name. Give us today our daily bread. Father, all across this room and online and all across our community, there are people that need your presence. We need you. More than the roof over our heads or the gas in our cars, we need you. We need your presence. We need a revelation of your love, of your mercy, of your kindness, of your goodness, of your reality. God, increase our faith. Give us today what we need for life and for godliness. And forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. God, help us to drop the rocks. God, help us, even when we don't feel like it, God, to forgive. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, God. Be with us this morning. Be with our hearts and our minds. God, let your word penetrate deep into us so that we can understand you no more and know you better and love one another better. Encourage us today. Lift up our spirits today. We trust you. And by faith, we believe you'll provide our every need and you'll give us everything we need. You are a good God. Holy be your name. All we need is you. Nothing else will do, Jesus. Amen. 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 Why don't you say hello to somebody close by there? A fist bump, a handshake. If you're not sure what their name is, go ahead and introduce yourself. Kind of the end of our worship here, we're going to take up or receive our tithes and our offerings. Our ushers are going to come forward. Would you guys mind just playing that song a little bit more, Nothing Else or whatever, as we, whatever part you want to do. But let's just make our giving time a part of worship. Like, we say that and we want it to be, but sometimes I think in our minds, if the music's not going, we feel like worship is over. But it's not. It's all day, right? It's every part of what we're doing. And so as they continue to play that part of the song and sing a little bit, let's take a moment, consider what God would have us give back to him, our tithes and our offerings. And we appreciate all that you do to support the mission of this church. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you so much. We give back to you of what you've given to us. Thank you, Father God. We know that you'll provide every need for us. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Thank you, Jesus. You're what we need. Above any financial situation that we may find ourselves in, above any stress that comes along with this season, God, above everything in our lives, nothing else will do except for you, God. We breathe you in. We love you. Be with us. Amen, amen, amen. All right. God is so good, right? Why don't you look at the person next to you and say, God is so good. want to. He really is. He really is. And everything He wants for your life, He is so, so good. We can trust Him in that. I want to welcome you. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you for coming. The Christian Fellowship Church, glad to have you here. There is a couple of points I want to point out of kind of connection points or next steps if you're a guest or if you're new with us. There's a New Here card in the seat back in front of you, or a Serve Here card as well. Online, there's links for that, but we're just thankful that you're here. We like to send out a note of thanks and just a little checkbox of, you know, kind of on that card. If you want to know more information about our church, our mission, our vision, you can receive a phone call. We're always available to answer questions and that sort of thing. Another point of connection for a guest is our Start Here class, which it happens the second Sunday of every month, which it already happened today, this morning. But Pastor Greg Key heads that class up every second Sunday of the month, so there'll be another one coming around in December. I want to encourage you, if you're a guest or first time, to check that out. We talk a little bit about what we believe and who we are as a church, and if you have questions, you can ask Pastor G directly during that time. There is some announcements we want to point out. We're going to use the video to point that out, but before I do that, today is baby dedication. Golly, I don't know what it is today. Right? But baby dedication today. And so if you have a child that you want to go get from the nursery or from a children's area to bring, it's kind of our way of saying to God that, hey, God, we want our kids to be raised up in you. And Corey will kind of be leading that here right after this video. So now's the time to get your kids and get that ready. All right. If you'll turn your attention to the screen.
Action.
What's up, Santa Paris? We're so glad you're here. Today we're going to tell you about a few community holiday events that you can participate in. The first one is the downtown Christmas tree lighting. Come out this Saturday, 6 o'clock. Next one is Christmas parade. That's going to be December 4th. And we don't know all the details yet, but we will know some soon. And we'll keep you updated on how you can help and everything. So put it on your calendar and be ready. That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm going to pull this back here. Let's go ahead and have all of our families. If you're here this morning and you have a child that you would like to dedicate, if you'll go ahead and come on forward, don't be shy. You can be the first. It'll be okay. I see some getting ready. There may still be some picking up their children, but y'all go ahead and come up. And in fact, guys, if you want, come over here to the outer edges. I'm going to have you walk up, and I'm going to have y'all stand up here along the front. And because nobody wants to see me. They want to see the babies, the niños, the kids. So, yeah, let me have y'all just go ahead and make your way up onto the stage. You can take the stairs, too. Wow. Here, come on right over here into the center, guys. Let me have y'all kind of come together right across the front. Yeah, just block Melissa. Wow. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Yeah, that's a lot of babies. It's quarantine. I forgot. Hey, stop it. Stop it. Man, guys, this is awesome. It is truly a blessing and an honor to be able to stand here today and be a part of this. There's no magic. There's no special anything that I'm going to do today other than wave at beautiful eyes. How are you, girl? That and pray. Look, today is more about you, the parents, than it is about the children. When we dedicate our kids, a lot of it's more for ourselves, and I'll explain why. I had the privilege this morning of joining another church here in town, Paris New Generation, Pastor Shannon McGuire, and I got to hear him speak. And so, look, y'all are in for it because I'm already fired up. But one thing that he said was, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy where Moses looks at the people and he says, remember the Lord. I think a lot of times these moments are the moments where we're really involved. We're conscious. We've been praying hard for this moment. For some of you, I know some of the stories. You've been praying for years. And what's easy, what can happen is we start to just kind of fall into the apathetic, this is what it is, this is how it is. And we forget that even in the blessings and then also in the pain, remember God. So today I'm up here, or down here, I guess y'all are up there. But I'm here just to encourage you as the parents. Scripture tells us very plainly, if I can get this thing to open. Scripture tells us, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. Psalms 127:3. Children are a gift of the Lord. And it's in these moments that we smile, we remember, we know this is our gift. And then as you're leaving church today, they're screaming, they're yelling, they're hungry, they're tired, all of the above. We forget that there's still a gift. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. There was no mistakes. There was no accidents. There was no oops. There was no, we didn't plan this. Maybe we didn't plan this, but there was always a plan. For you formed my inward parts. I think children are one of the biggest blessings that we can have. It can also be the biggest nuisance. But we're here to bless them today. God bless you all. Listen, ultimately, guys, what we've got to do through all of it, through the highs, the lows, through the joys, through the pain, through the moments where you cry, through the moments where you jump up and down and cheer and yell and scream, remember your God, who has blessed you with a gift, an opportunity. There's a passage, it's in Deuteronomy 6. And in Jesus, though, over these last few weeks, we've talked about love being the main thing that Jesus teaches us, love. And he does, he quotes, it's actually this passage, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But then he goes on, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. That's the parents. You're supposed to impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I'm going to hurry up because we're going to lose a few. Today, we as a family, as a body of believers, we stand with each and every one of you. Through the joys, through the trials, through the crying, through the happiness, through it all. Give me a big five. Yeah. Let's bow our heads and let's pray for these moms, these dads, and these beautiful children. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, your truth. Lord God, we thank you that we have a promise that we can hold on to. And Lord God, right now, Father, I pray that your promise would be ingrained upon these families' hearts. Lord Jesus, that they would instill them upon these beautiful children. Lord God, that they would know throughout every circumstance, throughout every trial, throughout all of it, yeah, that children are a gift of the Lord, a blessing. And Lord God, as some of these parents have prayed, Father, for this moment, I pray now, Lord Jesus, that they would continue to remember the gift, the blessing that you've bestowed upon them, Lord Jesus. That they would train these children up in the way that they should go, Lord Jesus, and that then they would just trust you with every step, with everywhere that they go, in every circumstance, Lord God, that your guidance would be upon their life. Father, we thank you so much for your word, your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's in the name of your son we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, y'all give them a massive, massive hand clap. Guys, we've got just a small little book here. Brandon, if you'll help me from that side. It's just a gift. This is a simple story. I'm going to look real quick. I know we got to preach, and I'm not going to keep you long. Somebody else is. I'm kidding. But look, we used to give out Bibles. Oh, wow, that just sunk like a rock. Okay, hold on. Hear me. We always believe that Bibles are such a special gift that we leave that for the parents to give a Bible. They don't need another Bible, you know, sitting somewhere that was from somebody else. But so we started doing this, The Story of Jesus. It's a children's book that they can read to their kids every day. And you should read your Bible to your kids every day, too. That's on you. But we started getting these beautiful little books, The Story of Jesus. And do we have enough? We already got them. All right, thank you, Brandon. But it's just a small gift. But guys, it's on you. Remember, you've been given a gift. You've been given a beautiful gift. And it's an honor and a blessing to be able to share in this moment with you. Guys, y'all be blessed. Let your children, let your seed be blessed as well. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Give them another hand clap as they go ahead and make their way down. Thank you again, guys. Thank you again. All right, y'all can go ahead and I'm going to pull this back up. What's up, big man? You doing all right? That's it. Oh, you too? All right. Oh, man. What? And now, some of those parents are going to keep their children in here. Some won't because they won't actually hear today. But the ones that do, you are not going to turn around when this child starts to do that. Because this is a living room. This is family. And if there's a child running, guess what? God bless them. All right? Guys, I'm super excited today. I have asked Pastor Greg Key to come up and share a message with us today. Him and I we got to go over and visit another church here in town 8 a.m. this morning, so I know he's fired up as well. Greg, I say that. Where are you? Oh, there he is. I was getting a little worried. I was really starting to just kind of scarily mumble and continue on. Pastor Greg?
Yes, Pastor Corey.
Guys, will y'all real quickly stand with me? I'm excited to just pray for him, the blessings of God. Y'all pray. Let's stand and pray real quick. Father God, I thank you for the word that you have today through Pastor G. Lord God, I pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our ears, open up our minds to hear your word this morning, Lord God. We thank you in advance, Father, for transformation, for our minds being transformed this morning. It's in the name of your son we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is what happens when I take Pastor Corey to church before he comes to church. So it was good. We had a good time this morning. It was really good. It is great to see all of you, those of you who are online. I won't be typing today because I'm up here. I'm not typing anything. I have my classic G-pad. I can't even run the slides. So that's all right. Now, I know that some of you are asking this morning, you are wondering, after last week, is he going to come up then in place of Corey? Is he going to come up and talk about that devastating, humiliating, bone-crushing loss last week? And I just want you to know, I'm not. I'm not going to talk about that at all, okay? But I knew some of you were asking that question. Others of you are asking, who is that guy again? And I sit in the back, usually, Pastor G, for those of you I haven't got a chance to meet. I met some new folks this morning that are here, that were at the Start Here class, and that's a great time. If you haven't been to the Start Here class yet and you'd like to just know a little bit more about CF, if you're new or you're feeling newer or you want to come in and just sit down and hear about the church, I would love to have you come in. That's always a great time for me. So we have had a great series here. We've been talking for weeks. We started off with a series called Know the Way that I thoroughly enjoyed. It was about knowing Jesus. Jesus is the way. And as followers of Jesus, we need to know Jesus well. We need to know him well because the scripture tells us that followers of Jesus should be growing to think and act and live more like he did. One of my favorite blessings that I heard about from a teacher from the New Testament times was that people would tell the rabbi's students, they would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, because you followed them so close everywhere they went and watched what they did that you were covered in the dust that came off the road when they kicked it up on the way. And so we need to know Jesus. We need to know the way. And then more than that, we need to talk about what that looks like all along the way. And we have talked about that for several weeks now and what our lives need to look like in regards to that. We need to pray along the way. We need to be slow to anger along the way. We have to deal with stupid people, right? So we have to be compassionate along the way, right? Humility is essential. Forgiving is essential. Loving others is essential. I loved that series because, you know, it was very, very practical. It was not just theoretical. And it's important that we talk about in day-to-day life, what does following Jesus really look like? What does it really look like? And it was a great series. One quote that I like that has been attributed to a number of different people, but I'm going to have it up here by Dwight L. Moody, says that the scriptures were given to us to, not given to us to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. And I think that's tremendously important for us to remember. God is in the business of change, and he's placed us in a community of change. And the church is one of God's means of grace to reinforce our faith and repentance, but it's also a channel for the other means of grace in our life. Many of you probably know the Footsteps in the Sand poem. Anybody read that one before? Anybody got it up on your wall? I saw one hand go up. All the honesty is, okay, there you go. All right, it's good. All right, it's a good poem, all right? There's two sets of footprints on the beach, and then it transitions to one set of footprints on the beach. It talks about the fact that Jesus is always with us. He's always faithful. But I think one thing about that poem, as beautiful as it is that the message in some ways is that holiness is about me and God. But change in the Bible is never a solo project. Change is a community project, okay? Change is a community project. And so as we grow to know the way in Jesus and as we try to reflect his life in our day-to-day lives on our own, I want to remind you today that we can only do that together. And yes, all along the way. Not quite done with you yet, all right? I'm not going to be stepping on your toes today. I know some of you are a little tenderfooted. We talked about that. This is going to be more like tying your legs together for a three-legged race, okay? Occasionally through some rough terrain, but your toes are safe unless you step on each other's, okay? The Apostle Paul, himself a stunning example of a changed life in Jesus. He talks about the church as a community of change in Ephesians 4, which is going to be our primary stop today. If you want to turn there or flip there or whatever you do, we'll have all the scriptures up on the screen. Earlier in Ephesians 2:22, Paul had already told the Ephesian church that they were being built together into a home for God. And also he had said in 3:10 that the church would corporately together be a showcase for God's wisdom in the world. And that's why Paul continues, he urges the church to be a united community. As he goes on to say in chapter 4, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All of us know, if we're honest, that these qualities of gentleness and patience and humility aren't natural for us. In fact, we've been learning together for weeks now about the faith and the effort that are required for us to change. And change is a community project because it's a community process as well as an individual process. When Paul talks to us about becoming mature, he's talking about the body of Christ as a whole becoming mature together. Christ does give, he did give specific people in specific roles to his church. We'll read that in verse 11. But why? Why did he do that? Paul tells us that Jesus did that to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until who reaches unity? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ together. It's the Christian community together that displays God's wisdom. We make God known, not just as individuals, but through our life together and through our love for one another. Yesterday, I was very excited and privileged to sit down around a table yesterday with a group of people that are praying about and talking about how to increase the unity of the body of Christ in the city of Paris. How can we come together as we should? I sat down with a Catholic priest. I sat down with a Church of Christ pastor, sat down with two African-American pastors, four ladies, one of whom was my lovely bride, a good friend of mine. The conversation was amazing and just the start of something wonderful that I know that God is going to do. And we looked at John 17, where Jesus prayed for us to be one. And he talks about how that oneness, the oneness of the church, is a witness to the world of the love of Christ. Jesus told his followers in John's gospel that our love for one another is what the world has to see to know that we're his disciples. So if they don't see it, they won't know it, right? And you can't love one another all by yourself. Paul continues in verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming and by news networks and social media and bumper stickers and memes, right? That's just in my version, sorry. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we, that's all of us together, alongside each other, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Do you guys remember, if you've seen those children's books that have pictures of different people with the pages divided so that you can flip it and mix and match the different heads and bodies and legs, and you flip over the pages and you mix up the pictures, you create these funny combinations while you're looking at that. And Paul says that the church is a body with Christ as its head. My mama used to say occasionally that I would lose my head if it were not connected to my body, right? But that cannot be us as a church. Our job is to change the body so that it matches the head. And we can't be the body of Christ on our own. We can't be mature on our own. Change is a community project. And this means that sin is always a community concern. Maybe I got someone's toes there. Sorry about that. I don't mean that people like to talk about the sins of others rampantly on social media. All right? I mean, my sin impedes the growth of the community as a whole. Don't be smug. Your sin does too, right? It stops us all from growing together as the body of Christ. It has an impact on all of us. Even our private, secret sins affect the community. In Joshua 7, there's a story of a man named Achan, and he decided to cash in on the spoils after Israel's miraculous victory at the Battle of Jericho, even though God specifically told Israel not to take anything from that city. No one knew that Achan had kept the robe, he kept the silver, he kept the gold. No one even knew it but him. But his sin led to the defeat of the entire nation of Israel, and in his case, to being swallowed up by the earth. All right. My sin stops me from playing the role God intends for me in the way he intends. And this means the church doesn't grow and reflect its head as God intends. I think that one of the great things about the Christian community is that it gives us models of Christ-like behavior, right? Of course, no one is perfectly like Jesus, and we get some models of unchrist-like behavior also. But other Christians help us see what it means to walk with God. And it's not just godliness we model for one another, it's also growth and grace. We model growth as people see us struggling with sin and turning in faith to God. And we need to see and hear about what God's been doing in the lives of others. Answers to prayer, comfort from God's word, help in temptation. When we see and hear about that happening in the lives of the people around us, we reinforce our belief together in a God who is alive and active among us. Paul says in Ephesians 4:7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And I read that this week and I thought, you know, if you ever really wonder whether or not God's grace is truly sufficient for you, like the Bible says, stop and consider who the Bible says determined exactly how much you needed. One reason that Scripture says that Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to the church is to equip each of us with a special gift, our contribution to the life of the community. So everyone's contribution matters. Let me say that again. Everyone's contribution matters. Ephesians 4:16, from him, that is Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We all have a part to play in building a home for God. We need one another in order to be a healthy, growing church. And this means that everyone needs you. And you need everyone else. You need to help others change, and you need to let others help you change all along the way. Now, Paul does particularly highlight the role of those who proclaim and explain and apply God's word there in Ephesians 4:11. So pastors don't get off the hook or anything, but notice that these leaders are not designated to do all the work of God in the church. Our role, as we read earlier, is to equip God's people for works of service. It's all God's people who together build up the body of Christ. We work with one another and we work for one another so that together we can be mature and Christ-like. I particularly like the New Living Translation of verse 16, which says that Christ makes the whole body fit together perfectly, right? Christ has specially selected each one of us to create a perfect fit. You may have chosen other people for one reason or another. Honestly, I may have chosen other people if it were up to me. But God has placed these people in your life and in my life to help us change. And Paul isn't talking about an idealized church with idealized people. He's writing to a real church with real people. He's talking about our church, all right? You can't say, that's fine in theory, Greg, okay, but my church is never gonna be like that. I certainly hope that you don't feel that way. If you do, you should tell Corey. All right, God has given these people to you so that they can care for you and you can care for them. And if you don't think your church is what it should be, then start changing it. Start sharing your struggles. Start speaking the truth in love. Verse 31 in Ephesians 4 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." I want you to notice that these behaviors have two things in common. First of all, they all involve other people. And second, they're all symptoms of thwarted or threatened sinful desires. Often we can't spot our own sinful desires, but when they're threatened or thwarted by other people, we can respond with bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice. And one of the great things about living as part of a community is that in community, people walk all over your idols. All right? People press your buttons. And that's when we respond with bitterness and rage and so on. And that gives us opportunities to spot our own idolatrous desires. God is using the different people, the contrasting personalities in our church to change your heart. He's using the difficult people, the annoying people, right? The sinful people. He's placed us together so that we can rub off each other's rough edges. You know, have you guys seen like one of those bags of the rough rocks? You put them in there together and you shake it really hard and sparks fly and they bang into each other, but gradually they become these beautiful, smooth stones together. So the next time someone rubs you the wrong way, remember that God is smoothing you down, all right? God has given you that person in his love as a gift to make you holy and for the two of you to become more like Jesus together. One of my favorite authors and pastors, Sinclair Ferguson, wrote this: "The church is a community in which we receive spiritual help, but also one in which deep-seated problems will come to the surface and will require treatment. We will often discover things about our own hearts that we never anticipated. We grow to a maturity together by speaking the truth in love," Paul wrote in verse 15. "We build one another up through the words we say, and we need to be intentional with our words." Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths," Paul says, "but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." We need to be a community in which we encourage, challenge, console, rebuke, counsel, exhort, and comfort one another with the truth, as fits the occasion or the situation. We need to be a community in which everyone is speaking truth to everyone. What changes us is the truth. Paul tells the Ephesians in verses 20 to 24 that they need to live together in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Putting off their old corrupted self and its deceitful desires, and instead putting on their new self created for righteousness and holiness. And therefore, Paul says to the church in 4:25, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Paul isn't just saying, don't tell fibs. We're to put off falsehood, just as we put off the old self. We're to stop perpetrating lies that lead to sinful desires. And that's what we often do with one another, okay? People bring their deceitful desires to us, and we stroke them, right? They say, my boss made me so mad today. And instead of exploring or asking whether or not their anger reflects thwarted or threatened sinful desire, we just say, ugh, he sounds terrible. I'd have done the same, right? People bring their moans to us and we join in. People tell us what they covet and we extol its worth to them. We say, now that's an idol worth worshiping. And instead, we need to, and we are to speak truth to one another, that is the truth in Jesus. We need to remind each other of the greatness and the goodness of God that is in Jesus. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, says the writer of Hebrews, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, and boy is it ever now, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We meet together so we can encourage one another. We come together to proclaim the worth of God to one another. Paul says we're to address psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. Now, this is not a dig against people who are not attending in-person Sunday services. This is a plea for all of us to understand that abiding and growing in Christ requires not only remaining vitally connected to the head of the church, but to his body as well. This requires so much more than attending church on Sunday. We need to be sharing our lives together. Every day, the world, the flesh, and the devil perpetuate deceitful desires, and we need a daily dose of truth. The writer of Hebrews also wrote, take care, brothers, and sisters too, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now, let me stop there and say these are Christians being warned about letting their areas of lingering unbelief in the power of the gospel for all of life to lead them away from God and each other. Take care lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you away from the living God, but exhort one another, how often? Every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're to encourage one another daily. Every day, our hearts teeter on the brink of becoming sinful, unbelieving, hardened, and deceived. And every day, we need other people who will speak truth to us. Sometimes you might hear people say, don't let other Christians become a crutch you lean on, all right? But that kind of sentiment just kind of, it just reflects the individualism of our culture and how we value that ideal of this rugged self-sufficiency. You know, people don't call the Bible a crutch. I think if we were ever to face solitary confinement, I'm sure God would prove himself sufficient for us. But in the meantime, God himself has given us both the Bible and the Christian community, the church, these people sitting around you this morning to help us persevere and grow. What we do need to watch is becoming dependent on particular individuals. That's usually unhealthy. Christ is our Savior, and we need people to point us to him. We don't want substitute saviors, people who solve our problems or give us reassurance when we should be looking to Jesus, right? God has given us the Christian community not as a substitute for Christ, but as a pointer to Christ, to speak the truth in Jesus and to each other, and specifically, Paul says, speaking the truth in love. We will speak the truth effectively only in the context of loving relationships. And I'm thankful that we talk about that a lot in this church. I read a quote recently that said, love without truth is like doing heart surgery with a wet fish. But truth without love is like doing heart surgery with a hammer. Moreover, we don't just communicate love by our words. We should also embody truth and love through our lives. We make the invisible God visible to one another and to the world through our actions. Paul says in verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God in Christ forgave you. I've heard people talk about how a Christian was there for them in a moment of loss or crisis, just cooking a meal or holding a hand, and how it helped them see that God was present for them in their darkness. One way that we can speak truth into people's lives is by narrating and sharing how the truth has affected our own lives. And I think this personalizes the truth and helps people see how it applies today. And it's also a good way of speaking the truth if we lack the confidence or maybe the opening to do so in more direct ways. As the band does not come up today, because I told them they didn't have to, but I know it's important that I say that so you guys know that I am gonna land the plane. All right? I need to cover one more item while we're here today. As you're preempting, but here it comes. The Bible also tells us that we are to rebuke and confront one another. It's not the only way we speak truth to one another, but it's an important way. And it's also a neglected way. Proverbs reminds us that this is often the genuinely loving thing to do. The writer of Proverbs says, a lying tongue hates its victims and a flattering mouth works ruin. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. And that's a great reminder to make sure that your love is clearly evident when you are speaking words of rebuke. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And part of our problem is that we don't rebuke one another day by day. So when we do, it often creates or maybe exacerbates this sense of crisis, and rebuke becomes confrontation. And this may be needed in some situations, but often it could just be avoided if rebuke has become a normal part of the way that we disciple one another. I need people who regularly ask me about my walk with God, who readily challenge my behavior, and who know about my temptations. I need the two men in my DNA group who ask me the questions I don't want them to ask me. Some sins thrive on secrecy, and we can become very adept at hiding them, but hiding them feeds them. The fear of exposure means that you withdraw from the Christian community, or you learn to pretend. And withdrawal and pretending can cut you off from the help that God has provided. One thing we got to learn is that change only takes place when sins come out into the open. And it's difficult. It's really difficult sometimes. But confession to another Christian will be a big step forward. You do not need to tell everyone, but do tell someone. And what should you do if someone confesses their sin to you? Speak the truth in love. Don't tell them their sin is understandable or insignificant. That offers no comfort because it's a lie. But we can speak words of comfort because we can speak words of grace. Call them to repent of their sin and accept by faith the forgiveness that God offers. Remind them that Christ has already taken on the guilt and the judgment they deserve, so they wouldn't have to. That is true comfort. Embody the forgiveness of Christ for them in your ongoing acceptance and love. We can be a community of repentance only if we are a community of grace. And this means being honest and open and transparent about our struggles. We see one another just as we really are and accept one another just as Christ accepted us. We must model grace in our welcome of sinners, just as Jesus did. And that means I don't pose as a good person. Instead, I portray myself just as I truly am, a sinner who constantly receives grace from Jesus Christ. It means we can rejoice to be a messy community of broken people. And what's the alternative, really? One alternative is to be a church where there's a lot of pretending, where people have problems, but the culture doesn't allow them to be open. And churches like this often look very neat and respectable. But I know that I'd rather be in a messy church. I think mess reflects a culture of grace. We pretend either because we don't trust God's grace for ourselves or because we don't trust others to show us that grace. In John 4, Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at a well at noon. The normal time for people to gather water in that culture was the cool of the early morning, but she comes at midday to avoid the rest of the community because of the shame that she feels. And after she's met Jesus, however, she runs to that community she's been avoiding, and she says, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did." The good news for her was that Jesus told her everything she'd ever done and still offered her living water. She no longer had to hide. And it's this testimony that draws the entire town to Jesus. We can confess our sin to one another because there's no longer any need to hide. Grace sets us free. We grow together. We fall and rise all along the way together. We create and display a more complete and a more beautiful picture of Jesus and his grace together. And we will eventually enjoy that love and that grace for all eternity together. But let's start while it's called today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for the freedom to be who we are and who you've made us with you and with each other. God, help us grow and become a beautiful picture of your grace and love together for one another, for our city, and for the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Y'all go eat.